Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program. For its editorial content, statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The Consumer Law Hour is brought to you by Farrah & Farrah.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farrah on News 1045 WOKV.
Appreciate you joining us. You're listening to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 1045 WOKV, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. No Chuck today. He is busy working in the office. Don't worry, though. We do have Eddie here in the studio.
Yep.
Phone lines are open, 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. My name's Tim Tompkins. Shout out to Scott, our producer. Eddie, talking to you before the show started, something that's been a real hot debate here on WOKV. Felons automatically getting their voting rights
There's
back.
A lot of stuff to talk, interesting stuff to talk about today, Tim. Just one thing before we get into that, restoring rights to felons. We had a call last week from a Mark. He had a question about finding out if his deceased relative had a life insurance policy. We did not get your full phone number, Mark. We do have the answer for you, but you can call us at the office Monday at 396-5555, and I'll get you that information you needed. Sorry we couldn't get back to you on Monday, but I just didn't have your full phone number.
So but Mark, if you're listening.
But we'll get it to you. That's right, Tim. Recently, just in this past week, I think, a federal judge has ruled that the Florida rules that restore voting rights to felons are crushingly restrictive. And let me tell you why. Most states automatically, once you've served your sentence, most of the states in the U.S., you automatically get your rights to vote back. Florida, you got to wait 5 to 7 years just to apply, which means you probably have to go through all your probation, not just get out or finish your sentence if you did go to jail. But you have to serve all your probation. You got to wait 5 to 7 years just to apply to get your voting rights back. Then you got to wait an additional 9 years for your petition to be heard.
Ooh.
About. So that's like, 16 years. That's like four presidential elections before you even get your petition heard. In one particular case, and then the clemency board decides it. The clemency board includes the governor. Okay, there was one case, and this is what the federal judge brought up, which really made him upset, and said there was one person who voted illegally, but he told the clemency board and the governor, I voted illegally because I didn't have the right to vote, but I voted for Governor Scott. So they gave him his right to vote back. They restored his right to vote. And there were other people who maybe voted of a liberal nature.
I was going to say, did they vote for Alvin Brown? Or
or they voted for maybe somebody else, and they were in the same situation, and they did not receive their right to vote back. So, I mean, the system has to be more, it's got to be more even-handed. It's got to comply with the First and 14th Amendment of the Constitution. I mean, this does not, and the judge said it's being applied inconsistently. There's no consistency to the way the statute's being applied. So he sent it back to, I guess, to the state to come up with a more reasonable way to restore felons' rights to vote. So hopefully that'll get sorted out. That's a long time to wait. I mean, 16, 17 years, and still you may not even get the clemency board may still say, no, you don't get it.
Well, and that's after they have paid their debt to society.
16 years later.
Right.
Long time, but we'll see what happens. I'll keep you posted on what happens in terms of how that law gets changed.
Fair and fair.com.
Because they're now under a federal judge's request to do it, and I'm sure they'll come up with, hopefully they'll come up with a more reasonable. I think what most states do is you've done your time, you get your right to vote back. Why have all this, you know, bureaucratic administrative stuff going on, waiting 5 years, waiting 7 years for a clemency board or whatever it is, or having somebody else make that determination? If you've done your time, you should be able to vote.
Well, but isn't that entire purpose of paying your debt to society after you've committed a crime?
Yes, that's what I thought. And most states are like that. Florida is not.
You want to take a phone call?
Sure.
All right. And the phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. We have Richard in St. Augustine. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. My question is, can you make an insurance company pay a claim that they say they won't pay? The details of it is that my wife had some breast implants put in 43 years ago, and she just fell and hit her left breast against a countertop that ruptured one of the implants. And the plastic surgeon says that the insurance company won't pay it because they call it cosmetic surgery. Mm-hmm. Well, when they were first put in, it was cosmetic surgery. However, at this point, it appears to me like it's the correction of some problem that is caused by an accident.
Right. Have you submitted it to the insurance company, or did the doctor tell you that?
No, they just said that over the phone that the insurance company wouldn't cover it.
Yeah, but have you talked to the insurance company about it?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's the next step for you to do, is call your insurance carrier and say, here's what happened. This was an accident, and is it going to be covered by the policy?
Is it actionable?
Well, then you can call me back. I know someone who can help you with that.
You have some other lawyer that does?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Who can at least give you the definitive opinion on that. But first of all, I would contact your insurance company. See, doctors, some doctors would rather have you pay them direct because they get paid more than what the insurance company would pay them. Because they have, if they have a contract with the insurance company, then they get paid a certain sum of money for certain procedures. Of course, if you're paying the retail, if you're just coming off the street and you want a procedure done, you're going to pay a lot more money.
Right.
So there may be some of that going on.
Okay. Well, I'll call them then and get back with you.
Yeah, if you want to just give me a shout at the office at 396-5555 and then let me know what the outcome was.
Okay.
Then I'll talk to the person that I know that may can help you. All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Richard.
Appreciate that phone call. 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. You want to get your call in? We have Eddie from Fair and Fair right here in the studio. Steve, over on the west side, thanks for calling in.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, Eddie?
Hey man.
As far as this voting rights for felons, if it is a nonviolent crime, I have no problem with it.
Yeah.
And I know a person that served his time in another state about 25 years ago and still does not have any voting rights. He has no gun rights. Now, a relative of mine, he was sent to prison because his parole violation or probation violation, and he was able to pay some hefty money and get his criminal record completely erased. Now, how does that work?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, in Florida, my understanding is if you're convicted of a felony, there's no way to get that record erased. I don't know what other states.
But
I'm just going by this article. The federal judges have ruled. I mean, this is a federal judge who's looked at the Florida law on restoring votes. It says he describes it as crushingly restrictive, violates First and 14th Amendment.
Well, I was always led to believe that if you do the crime, you serve the time, you paid your debt to society.
Right.
Now, if you want to give a person, say, 5 years probation, keep your nose clean, behave yourself, okay, then slowly start restoring rights. But 16 years, like you said, that's 4 presidential elections.
That's a long time to wait.
Exactly, and especially if it happened like in a friend of mine's case about 25 years ago, and he still has no rights.
Yeah, but in Florida, these people are waiting. You have to wait 5 to 7 years just to apply, then to wait another 9 years for the hearing. So,
yep.
And then plus, it's a clemency board. The judges are saying even when you get to the hearing, who they're giving it to and who they're not giving it to is not being applied consistently. It's like there's something funky going on. Some people get it, some people don't. They can't figure out why one person received his right to vote, and one person did not. Like they were saying, one guy comes to the clemency board here and he says, tells the governor, hey, I voted illegally, but I voted for you. And apparently he got his right to vote back. And some other people didn't. I don't know what's going on. I mean, I can't tell you why, but I mean, I don't know if it was because he voted for the governor. But anyway, that's why they want to get it more consistent.
During the news break, I heard something about the manufacturers of OxyContin are going to start limiting the amount that they allow to the doctors because they're scared of a lawsuit. Okay, if you give me a prescription and I don't follow it the way the prescription is written, why should they be able to sue the drug manufacturer?
Well, I think what they're talking about there, a lot of these opioids, they were being pushed by the drug manufacturers as not being addictive. Okay, that's where I think that's what the idea, and they knew when they knew they were addictive. That's what the basis of the lawsuit is, of these lawsuits. If you research them, the second thing is they were prescribing, you know, to try to sell more drugs. They want to show that a drug can do many things. I mean, they were trying to use these opioids for people who should just be taking aspirin or Aleve or you know, and they were pushing it for people who surely shouldn't be on them. And they were trying to expand the market. They were even trying to expand the market to try to use them for other conditions, like for instance, Alzheimer's or, you know, depression. You know, I mean, they had nothing to do with pain. They were just trying to expand the market, and that's where I think that's where these lawsuits are coming from, that they misrepresented the addictiveness of the narcotic.
Okay. Eddie, thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye. Yeah, see, the thing is, we didn't talk about, Steve wanted to talk about the nonviolent criminals. I wonder if that's a factor when it comes to, I mean, if you bounce a check for $300, technically that's a felony, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to get a felony.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. Right. I mean, bouncing a check, that can happen to anybody.
Speeding, 20 miles and over or something like that?
Yeah, or a couple of DUIs. There can be other ways to... I mean, a felony can be, you know, tapping someone's phone line in Florida can be as a third degree felony without their permission. I mean, so there are ways. I mean, you got, of course.
Well, that's a good point. So people think felony, they think murder, rape, that kind of thing, but there's different levels class one, class two, class three.
No, you're right. There are many classes of it. So why would you, somebody who bounces a check and is a convicted felon, why would you not allow him to vote after he's done his thing, whatever it is?
What also makes people want to not be contributing members of society if you take away their rights forever?
Yeah, don't feel like they're part of it.
Right.
I mean, they're sort of disenfranchised and they don't feel like they're part of it, and they don't buy into the system. You know, you're right. It's a good point.
But, so before we take this call, though, I had a question because you were talking a lot about a clemency board and you're a lawyer. Not everyone is, though. I was hoping maybe you could expand a little bit about exactly what a clemency.
I think the clemency board is just a group of people appointed by the governor that determines whether or not you receive your voting rights back. They also work with restoring your gun rights. And that's a whole, we talked about that a few shows ago. I don't have my information with me, but it's a lot more difficult to receive your gun rights back than it is, of course, to vote. But even getting your right to vote, I mean, your right to own a gun, I mean, that should be applied consistently. That should be in compliance with the Constitution. Maybe if it was a violent crime, maybe you probably don't get your right to, you know, own a firearm, but we can talk about that sometime else. But right now it's the voting rights, which is the hot topic, I think.
So let's go ahead and take a break. As soon as we get back, we have a caller, Lee, who has a wife that has had complications from knee surgery. Eddie's going to delve into that. The phone lines are open, 904-340-1045. The Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah and Farrah right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to the Consumer Law Hour, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah. Eddie Farrah here in the studio today. Chuck is busy working in the office, answering your questions. Call in 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. We have Lee in Mandarin. Thanks so much for staying on hold, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Lee.
A couple years ago, my wife had a knee surgery at JOI. They removed her meniscus. And the day of the surgery, I questioned the surgeon, asking, why are we removing the meniscus versus pinning the meniscus? And his response was, we only take the meniscus out. And I told him, I said, well, that's kind of like taking the rubber off your tires, isn't it? He goes, nope. He goes, standard procedure is taking the meniscus out. Now she has lost almost all function in her knee. You can stand behind her and see where her knee is bowing out. She's been back to him several times, and he says that it's arthritis in her knee now. She's gotten injections and no relief. My wife was a tree hugger, and we went hiking and all this other stuff all the time in the mountains and everything, and she can't even go up downstairs now. What recourse should I take?
All right. How long ago was the surgery?
2 years, I believe.
Okay. Well, first of all, in Florida, there's a 2-year statute of limitations on medical malpractice. It's two years from the date you knew or should have known of the mistake. All right. I'm not sure that's a mistake. I mean, the doctor, I'm not a doctor, but I mean, medicine is not black and white. Okay. I mean, it's not like you either ran the red light or you didn't run the red light. There's a lot of gray area there. And I mean, it's not, you've got to have an expert look at your wife's situation and give you an opinion as to what the doctor should have done. What should he have done, in your opinion?
Pinned it. I had mine pinned 10 years ago, and I've never had a problem with it.
Did you ask him about why he didn't pin it?
Yes, he said he doesn't pin it, he removes it.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not necessarily a medical mistake or malpractice. Under Florida law, in order for you to pursue that case, you've got to have that case reviewed by a medical doctor who does that type of work, and he has to give you a written opinion that what the doctor did was below the standard of care.
Okay.
I mean, that's what you got to do, and I don't know if that is. I mean, she had some problems before. She has arthritis in her knee now, but she had a problem, and that's why she went to the doctor.
Yeah, he said it was a torn meniscus, and that was it.
Yeah,
and then he removed them. You know, like I said, I asked him if he could pin it, and he said no. We remove it.
Well, have you been to a different doctor to
get rubber off your tires?
Has she gone to a different doctor to get another opinion?
No, she's about to.
Yeah, well, that's what she's got to do first. But again, but I know how it is. I mean, I love hiking up in the mountains too. I mean, that's kind of my hobby, doing it, going up there. But does she need a replacement now, or is there something they can do to help that?
I'm not a doctor either, but looking at her and the way her knee's bowing and everything, yeah, that's what I think's coming.
Yeah. Well, I'd get a second opinion, but under Florida law, under the way the medical malpractice statute is written, it's not like a car accident where you can just go file a lawsuit. You have to get an opinion from a like-treating physician who gives you an opinion that what the doctor did fell below the accepted standard of care. And you got 2 years from the date you knew or should have known of the mistake.
We appreciate the phone call, Lee. 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. If you want to get a call or a question in to Eddie, the Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Fair and Farah. We have your news update coming up next and a look at your drive heading out to St. Augustine. Jacob Pickering in the traffic center. Don't go anywhere. Welcome to the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Coming in a little bit late there. My name is Tim Tompkins. We have Eddie here in the studio. Eddie from Fair and Fair. Eddie Farah. The phone lines are open. 904-340-1045. 904-340-1045. Eddie, the last call we had was a guy talking about medical malpractice.
Right.
If you could give one example.
Well, I mean, maybe a misdiagnosis. You go to a doctor, you have certain symptoms. It happens a lot. We've handled cases where somebody goes to the emergency room. And they tell the emergency room doctor or physician that they've got some more indigestion. You know, they think they ate something, and they treat him like that. And really, he's having a heart attack. He goes home and has a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the case. It should have been diagnosed properly. It wasn't diagnosed. They could have done something at the emergency room to stop it from happening. They misdiagnosed the condition and they sent him home, and something happened.
There you go.
That's a typical case. That happens. Or during a surgery. I mean, the thing is, there's no guarantee in a surgery. I mean, just because something goes wrong doesn't mean it's medical malpractice. I mean, there's no guarantee. Even if the doctor does everything perfectly correct, does everything the way he's supposed to, things can still go wrong, and that's not malpractice. So That's why the law is it's written the way it is. There's a pre-suit screening process you have to go to. It's not like a car accident. I rear-end you today, Tim. Monday morning, you can go file a lawsuit against Eddie Farah. Nothing to stop you. Medical malpractice, you have to go through some hurdles before you can file your lawsuit. And one of those hurdles is you have to find a doctor who is willing to provide you with an opinion in writing that what happened was below the standard of care. So that kind of screens out, you know, keeps out a lot of cases.
I'm sure it does.
Because you got to have a doctor that's willing to go to bat for you
right
before you even file the lawsuit. And then there's a waiting period and all that. But, you know, and be mindful of the two-year statute. I mean, you can always extend your statute by 90 days as long as you file the request to extend it before the statute runs. It costs like $25. If it happens in Duval County, you can go to, down to the clerk's office and file a document that allows you to extend the statute of limitations by another 90 days.
904-340-1045 is the number to call in. Yeah. We have Glenn in St. Augustine. Glenn, what's on your mind?
Eddie, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I've been with you for a few years. I've had double knee replacement done when I used to live in Port St. Lucie before we moved up here 2 years ago to St. Augustine. And at the time in Port St. Lucie, the doctor, he did both, the left and the right. And when I had my surgery on my left, the minute I had it, they want you to move out of bed. So I moved out of bed, and it's clunky. I said, is this normal? He goes, he was kind of kind of shocked about that. And when I was walking, he could hear it clunk. And I asked him, then as the time goes on, I took his word for it. He goes, well, that's kind of normal. Well, I go around to other doctors that I see for just my other health benefits or issues. And I showed him that, and a lot of them said, stop, it's gross. And it's gotten worse, 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 Eddie. To speed up a little more, a year goes by, and I know it's not normal because I'm talking to people now and seeing them in rehab for these knees, and they're just quiet.
Right.
So, and it's clunking real bad when I stand up and I move it. It just, it would make you sick. And
right.
I tell, if you can hear it on the outside, you can imagine how I hear this in the inside of my body clunking.
Mm-hmm.
He calls, it's a Stryker triathlon. That's who it, that's who did, that's the manufacturer, who, what he installed down there, who they use, and who he uses to install them, their equipment. So I go ahead, he scheduled me for another one. He wanted to do both, redo both. I had him do the left one, and again, the surgery, he said, well, I had to put a bigger spacer in there. It was really tight to get it in. And I said, I told the doctor, I said, it's clunking again. I'm speeding up like through surgery after surgery, and I lay down, I come out of it, they want you to walk. And it's clunking. He goes, no, no way. I said, yes, it is. Listen, and he heard that. He goes, well, that's kind of normal. Well, I go online and start just doing, being my own advocate and looking at Stryker.
Right.
And I see multiple lawsuits, Eddie.
Right,
now.
Right. We've handled some. Is that, did he put a Stryker triathlon in the second surgery?
Yeah, I still got him, but he wanted to do the right one. I said, no way, Doc, you're not doing my right one if the left one didn't take.
Right.
I don't know what's the matter with. So I go online, Eddie, and look, just so the audience hears it, and I see all the lawsuits from Stryker, and I also see that they're recalling the laser that they're supposed to use to cut out to fix your knee.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit, Glenn, but go ahead. I know what you're talking about, but go ahead.
There's a cutout they used for your, the way your body's formed for that knee to fit properly. And that's what, and they stopped using that knee because it didn't conform with mm-hmm. the cut as far as the way the striker's supposed to fit.
Right.
And this is how it has to be. Because I can bend it back and forth. You know, his comment was, well, use a brace. I said, Doc, I want to use it so I don't have to keep using braces and getting injections and all the other surgeries I had on the knee. Till he said, no more. You got to have replacement. So you, it's amazing. I can walk. It clunks back and forth. It twists. So he goes, I need you to wear a brace because if it breaks, it can go through your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Mayo. My daughter works there, thank God. And she put me in with one of the elite orthopedic surgeons there, Eddie, and he goes, he took an x-ray and he looked around the big machine. He calls other people in there and they're watching it and he's moving it back and forth. He goes, this is a ball. He shouldn't even put this in there. He goes, we would use a hook. So yes, I did do a second opinion, like I heard other people say. And he also gave me his written thing, which I took and said, I should have never had this. I should have had the hook because it's more stable versus they won't use the striker there at Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Where I stand with this, and it's clunking real bad. Walk, I can, if I stand, like I'm just standing, I can move my knee if I want to play, and it goes clunk, clunk. and I got all this flexibility in it. And it's scary, and that's why I didn't want him to touch the right one if it didn't work with the the second time on the left one. Then I don't want to go under again being 61, MRSA, cardiac arrest,
right.
The rehab, dementia, and all this other stuff you get from going under. So that's where I stand. I'm kind of everybody's saying, push a little further. And I heard the program just now, and I figure I'd give you a call, see what you feel about that.
Well, if you're going to leave your phone number with Scott, I can give you a call on Monday.
Absolutely.
And talk to you more about it, because it's going to take more than the time we have here on the show. But do you know, did you check to see if your particular knee implant was one of the recalled ones?
You know what? Good question. I don't.
Oh, yeah, we can find out. Okay, well, we can find out.
I don't know how to do that. No,
we can do it. We can. I just thought maybe you checked. No. But we can find that out for you.
Yeah. Okay, that's two.
Okay.
Three now. Two on the left and one on the right. And I didn't replace the right, like I said, Eddie, because we didn't do the left one didn't come out right. Why would I want to go under again and redo the right one?
Well, what's Mayo recommending for the other one?
To replace it, go under and redo it again. He says the only thing he said is he was straight up and didn't sugarcoat it, and that's how I like life to be with me. That's how I am. He says, we got to take that one out, shave down the bones where the glue was, and then put theirs in.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's saying, this could be complications, like you said, and like I know, for infection stuff. And if it doesn't take, I read people lost their, had to go in for amputations and stuff because my nerves are so gone because he cut so much again. Because, your nerves do die there when he keeps going in.
Right.
So now I have no feeling on the left knee.
Wow.
I'm about 6 inches below the knee, 6 inches above it and around it because he had to keep going in there and mess with stuff, and them nerves don't regenerate a lot of them.
Wow.
So more tissue now.
Wow. Well,
but it is both knees, Eddie. But the left one, that's why.
And the same implant in both knees, right?
Yeah, and with the Stryker triathlon.
Okay. All right, well, we'll get to... we'll find out on next week what's going on with it. Again, leave your number with Scott, and I'll be in phone contact with you.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Glenn.
It's a tough situation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you hear of good outcomes with knee implants, and a lot of people have. I mean, not everybody has a good outcome.
Knee and hip replacements tend to be some of the more successful and safer surgeries.
Right.
I've always thought it was wild. Who was the first person that let them do that?
Yeah.
Because it's really like a ball that they're putting in into the knee or to the hip. And who was the first person that said, sure, knock out my knee and then put that.
Yeah, but some of them, there have been recalls on some of these or a lot of these. Because people have had problems.
Yeah.
They haven't worked. And so we'll see.
904-340-1045. You want to get a phone call in to Eddie Farum. We have Clay over on the north side.
Hey, Eddie, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man, thanks for calling.
Hey, real basic. I have 100% custody of my daughter. So my hopefully soon-to-be ex's lawyer said, show that you're still keeping up the health insurance, because I have the health insurance until everything's finalized. So the guy running the health insurance sends a letter to the other lawyer, and it says individual policy. Well, the next thing I know, we get this thing from the judge. You're in contempt. I'm in contempt of court. You only have an individual policy. You don't have a family coverage. On and on and on. My lawyer spends 3 or 4 hours. It was over $1,000 to clear it all up, to get the company that I work for, to get the insurance guy to finally clear it, to then get the judge. I mean, they said you can go to jail for contempt of court.
Right.
Not keeping every. I'm like, what? So, I've been to small claims court 20 years ago. I have no problem taking this insurance guy. And they go, oh, it's a clerical error. I said, why does a clerical error, what did I do wrong? I pay my policy. You sent the wrong information. You cost me over $1,000. So can I take him to small claims court?
Why did he cost you over $1,000?
Because my lawyer spent hours trying to clear it up.
Oh, okay.
The company that I work for.
Yeah, he charged you, Right.
So, yeah, he's like, well, I can't do all this. I said, he's $300-something an hour, so he spent all this time, and finally then got the judge to take the this order back, the contempt of court order back, and then I'm like, well, I shouldn't have to pay. I did, but I want my $1,000 or $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first of all, is it a stupid case and I flush it down the toilet.
I mean, you know, if you're that intent, I mean, if the agent did not properly relay the information
exactly.
that you told him that he owes you, I mean, it cost you $1,000 to get it fixed. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, technically, you could file your lawsuit in a small claims court, go in front of
him
a judge,
or the
if you
that he
win.
Works for, or, but, I'm sorry, him or the company he works for, or both of them?
Probably
the
company he works for. I mean,
list him as an agent.
Yeah, because he may not have money. I mean, you want to go after the company's responsible for his.
Exactly.
He may not have anything to pay you, so you'd sue the company or the agency, whatever it was. But I mean, have you written him? Your lawyer should be able to write him a letter. So listen, I had to bill Clay $1,000 because of your mistake.
I have to do that first, right?
And can you pay us back? I mean, it was not his mistake. I would try that first. The small claims, remember, you have to pay the filing fee. But if you win, you get the filing fee back. And you get your $1,000, but you have to go down to the courthouse and probably at least be there for at least half a day while they go through the docket. And then you may have to come back for a hearing. So, I mean,
we arbitrated last time. And I did it. I had all my paperwork, everything, about 20 years ago, and won.
Yeah, but this wouldn't be an arbitration. This would be in front of a county court judge.
Okay.
This is no problem. They're fair about it.
We'll do the letter first. Hey.
Yeah.
Ask Scott if he still has any reptiles.
Excuse me?
Scott, if he has any reptiles.
Who's
Scott,
that?
It's our producer, Scott.
Oh, okay.
I can get an answer from him. You won't hear him on air. Scott, do you still have reptiles?
I thought you were talking about Governor Scott. We were talking about him earlier.
Well, he does, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He does.
Yeah.
Yep. I've known him over 30 years.
Oh, good.
Okay. Hey
thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good luck
thank
on that. You. Yeah, man.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. You can win the battle and lose the war. I mean, you have to look at your time. See, the problem with Clay, he can't go. I mean, you can't go in front of the judge and say, okay, I want my $1,000 and the filing fee. You can get that, but you can't go and say, I want my time. You know, I'm you're not entitled to that. Now, if you had a lawyer.
I want my time.
Yeah, I want all my time.
Or
I miss 2 days of work coming to this court hearing and I make $100 a day. I want $200 on top of it. You're not going to be able to get that. Now, if you hire a lawyer, you may be able to get the attorney's fees, but still, you're going to have to be down there with the lawyer. So you go down there for a half a day, you know, waiting to be called. And if they deny the claim, you have to come back for a hearing. So you got to weigh, you know, the value of your time,
mm-hmm.
whether you're willing to do that.
Right. So let's go ahead and...
I think you go in there and ask for all the time off you lost from work. Right. That's something different because it makes it worthwhile.
Hey, what about PTO?
Yeah.
You know, hopefully he has some.
Yeah.
Coming on up on a break, you can get those last-minute questions in, 904-340-1045, 904-340-1045. The Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah & Farrah, Eddie Farrah here in the studio. Here we go. The Consumer Law Hour brought to you by Farrah & Farrah, Eddie Farrah here in the studio. We have James over on the south side. Thanks for calling in, James.
Hey, James.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, gentlemen.
No problem.
What does someone do if they cannot afford the fee and or the mm-hmm. fee for a lawyer to help you file bankruptcy if someone has, honestly, say $700 left to their name in the world?
Correct.
Their vehicle is salvage value. They have $20,000 in credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never missed a payment.
Mm-hmm.
They're always on time, but it's coming to the point that they're going to have to stop making the payments. And the harassment and other stuff from the credit card companies would be little more than they'd want to contend with. What on earth would someone suggest for that particular person?
Well, from my limited knowledge, that's a prime candidate for a Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which would stop all that harassment, get rid of the credit cards. If you can't, I know someone who can help you. Know if you go through, I'm going to find out about the filing fee for you.
$1,700 and some odd dollars in the state of Florida, even if you do it yourself.
I know that. The filing fee is not that much. But if you go through legal aid, I think the filing fee is waived. There is a way to waive the filing fee. Have you been in touch with Jack's Area Legal Aid yet?
No, but I can.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, I'll find out for you because I've got a contact over there. Why don't you leave Scott with your phone number, and I'll give you a call back and let you know what your options are.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it may not be till Tuesday. It'll be Monday or Tuesday. I should be able to get in contact with call
that's
you back.
That's all right, sir.
Yep.
Thank
just
you.
Hold off a couple of days. I'll find out for you. Yeah, that's that's a problem. I mean, it's difficult. You don't have the money to file.
Right.
I mean, the filing fee is not cheap. I know,
and you're filing bankruptcy because you don't have any money.
Right. And in this case, it looks like a Chapter 7 would give him the relief he needs, because once you file your bankruptcy, automatically upon the filing of that petition, there's an injunction in effect which prevents any of the creditors from having any contact with you. Mm-hmm. It's a violation of the law for them to try to reach out to you after you filed bankruptcy. And so that would stop the phone calls and all the harassment. And it sounds like it would get rid of all those unsecured credit cards. But hopefully... I'll get an answer for him next week.
What happens to the car?
Well, you're allowed certain personal property up to a certain amount, mm-hmm. and probably that car would qualify as exempt property that he could keep for himself.
All right.
So you're allowed to keep certain things up to a certain amount.
No, we're coming up on time. Scott, how much time do we have left?
I see Linda. Maybe she can leave her phone number. I can call her back.
About 30 seconds. Okay. Yeah, Linda, if you want to go ahead and leave your phone number.
Yeah, she's talking about a foot. Yeah, the thing about it is, under Florida law, there's a patient's right to know. It's an Amendment 7 to the Florida Constitution. It allows you to write to a hospital and get information about any bad outcomes they've had for the type of procedure you're getting ready to have there. So if you're getting ready to have a knee replacement, you can write the hospital and say, hey, I want to know about all the bad things that happen with knee replacements at your facility. Mm-hmm. I can talk about more about that later, but
all right,
we're running out of time.
Topic for next week,
okay,
maybe.
Sure. Okay.
Eddie and Chuck, they'll be back in the studio next week. Another episode of the Consumer Law Hour right here on News 104.5 WOKV, brought to you by Farrah & Farrah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.